Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
It's day two of our TOEIC unit.
It is.
You can learn more words and score better on your TOEIC tests if
you can.
Pay attention.
Absolutely.
Yayo.
That's right. And, of course, this is our TOEIC unit designed to help you with your TOEIC test if you're planning to take that. But also, it might help you get a job in the future because we are talking about writing reference letters.
Very important.
You need those if you're applying for a job, and you probably will need those if you're trying to get into some kind of special university, especially if it's a special kind of department or something like that, into a music school or something like that. You're going to need some recommendation letters from some of your past teachers. But in this case, we were talking about John Stokeland. He called his friend, oh, gee, what was her
Catherine
name?
Catherine Palmerston.
Catherine Palmerston. There you go.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they worked together when they were in university together, and he wants her to write a recommendation letter for him. And so today we're going to be looking at that very letter of recommendation.
That's right. In our previous program, of course, we talked about their phone call where John calls Catherine up and, you know, it's a little awkward at first asking for a favor, but don't be, you know, too afraid to ask. Everybody, like Tom said the other day, everybody helps everybody. Mm. We all need favors, so you should be kind about giving favors out and also receiving favors. So here we go. I'm going to read it, Tom, because I'm Catherine, and it would be better if a girl read the Catherine letter.
I totally agree, and I don't object at all. Knock yourself out.
Thank you. To whom it may concern, I hereby confirm that John Stokeland held the position of communications officer at University College London, UCL, for the 2012 through 2013 and 2013 through 2014 academic years. During his time at UCL, John was responsible for the university's website, as well as its Facebook page and Twitter account. As UCL is home to approximately 36,000 students, most of whom are active social media users, these sites experienced a large amount of traffic. Not only was John able to handle this, but he also increased the traffic in order to connect past, present, and potential future students. He was able to quickly respond to issues and complaints, as well as effectively monitor the sites and their content. His keen attention to detail was a huge asset to the communications team as well. John was an enthusiastic participant in all of our social media campaigns, and often took on the role of team leader to ensure that everybody pulled together. He was always a pleasure to work with, and his outgoing personality made him a great fit for this position. John was a popular person here, and working at a university with many international students has given him plenty of experience with different cultures. I believe John's experience and personal qualities make him suitable for any future job in communications or social media. Please do not hesitate to contact me in person if you require any further information about John. Sincerely, Catherine Palmerston, Director of Communications, University College London.
Okay, this is the contents of John Stokeland's reference letter, and this is for today's lesson. And the letter begins, to whom it may concern. So again, Catherine Palmerston is writing this letter for John. She knew him back in university days. They weren't actually classmates. I guess she actually was working there, and he was working under her at the time. So here she's writing this letter, and she doesn't know who's going to actually read it. It's a general letter of reference, so she begins it by saying, to whom it may concern. I don't know who's going to read this, whether it's a sir or a madam. So, yeah, this is a general way to begin it, to whom it may concern.
If you do have the name of the person you're applying for a job with, please let your person who's writing the reference letter know. It sounds much better if you can put a real name there rather than to whom it may concern. I was mentioning to Tom before we started that the author of this unit is British himself. Pat Woods, our our coworker. We love him. He is from Great Britain, and the way they write reference letters is a little different than the way we write them in America. I hereby confirm is a way that they might start a letter. I would just write, I'm happy to recommend, or this person has asked me to write a letter. I'm very, very, enthusiastic about recommending this person. But I hereby confirm, meaning this person really did work at this position. I think some people, unfortunately, lie on their resumes, which is a shame because we should always be honest. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. So sometimes these reference letters are just to confirm that they actually did indeed have that job and that we enjoyed working with them.
Yep, so he says, or she says, rather, I hereby confirm. Hereby is a formal word that you hear in only certain kinds of situations, but she says that I confirm this. I guarantee that he held this position of communications officer at University College London, or UCL for short, and then she mentions the time he was there for the 2012 to 2013 and 2013 to 2014 academic years. So that is a year of study at a university, the entire year beginning in the fall and ending in the spring. That's the academic year. I guess it could also include the summer session as well.
I think it just includes whatever the semesters that college offers.
Yeah, I guess they would have to mention the summer session. Especially mentioned that if he did have something to do with that. But this is just for the academic years. And he held that position. He wasn't just a student there. He was actually working there. He was the communications officer. That sounds like a pretty big position.
So academic has to do with your schooling. So if you have someone who asks you, what was your academic background? You could tell them what school you went to, what you majored in, and what your interests were when you were a student. So academic has to do with your schooling, of course. Typically, it has more to do with your time as a college student, but not always. During his time at UCL, that's the University College of London, that's where he was a student, he was responsible for the university's website. So if you're responsible for something, it's up to you to make sure something gets done. I don't know if he managed anybody, but he certainly was managing their website. So it was up to him to make sure it was up and running and functioning properly. He was also responsible for their Facebook page. And as many of you know today, Facebook is a really important part of life for a lot of people. And Twitter is a social media application where people can send short text messages and post photos to each other. I don't think it's used as much in Taiwan as in the States and abroad, but Twitter is a very important social media platform that a lot of people use for business and to publicize themselves.
I've never signed up for a Twitter account myself.
Well, I have a Twitter account.
I thought you would, but Facebook for me is enough, and I feel like I can get things done that way. And so, yes, he was responsible for their website. You could also say he was in charge of their website. He was also in charge of their Facebook page and also their Twitter account. Now, the next sentence here says, as or because UCL is home to approximately 36,000 students, most of whom who are active social media users, these sites experienced a large amount of traffic. So, yes, this is a pretty big university here, 36,000 students. The one I went to, I think, was around maybe 28,000 or 30,000, a little smaller here, but 36,000 is a pretty big university. And all of those students, or most of them, most of whom are active social media users, well, these sites experienced lots of traffic as a result of that. All those students kept going online and checking their Facebook page and making posts and sending tweets on Twitter. So, of course, John had to kind of oversee all that stuff.
Not only was he able to handle that, though, he also increased the traffic. The traffic is the number of people going to a website. And we like to keep track of the traffic because it lets people know if they're popular. And if you're posting ads and people are clicking on the ads, the traffic is very important because they want to know that they're the money they're paying for the ads is worth it. So he increased the traffic or the people going to those websites and actually the whole university's website, but also the Facebook account that they have, the page, and reading the tweets. A tweet is a small message that's sent out on Twitter because their logo is a bird, in case you haven't seen it. And birds go tweet, 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 in English at least.
Does Twitter actually make a tweet sound when you tweet something?
No. No, it does not. But they need to hire Tom to make that sound effect.
They could record it, and I could charge them millions of dollars.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, he had to handle this stuff. So in this sentence, we also have the not only but pattern. So not only was he able to handle this, but he also increased the traffic to connect past, present, and potential future students. Isn't that nice?
Can I mention something I've noticed in Taiwan with all of the students I teach grammar to in writing classes? That people in Taiwan seem to love not only but also pattern.
Mm.
You all seem to be able to do that very well. Congratulations. But don't overuse it. We actually don't use it as much as you do here in Taiwan, so be careful.
Okay, good point there. But in any case here, he was able to connect past students. That would be the alumni, right? Also present students, the one attending classes now. And also potential future students, which means people that might be students at the university. So he got them interested in checking out the website. So maybe he was helpful in increasing enrollment in the university so they could make more money and stuff like that. So that, of course, is a valuable thing to do.
He was also very quick to respond to issues and complaints. An issue typically doesn't have to be negative, but it's more negative than positive, I would say. If you're having an issue, it's a situation that you probably need to handle or deal with. Our author also could have said he was able to quickly respond to problems and complaints. But an issue is something that could turn into a complaint if they don't handle it. A complaint is, of course, somebody not happy about some sort of service or something that you're offering them. So they want to tell you what you're doing wrong. He was also really good at monitoring the site and the content on the site. If you monitor something, you follow it. You're kind of checking up on it to see if everything's okay, which is important if you have a website, because sometimes the internet goes down, which means the website is no longer connected.
Right, so maybe he's making sure people aren't saying naughty things or things like that, or he's responding to complaints. Oh, this web page doesn't work very well. It's very confusing, and I can't find the information. So,
We talked about cyberbullying this month, and maybe that was something he had to monitor as well.
Could be. And here the final sentence of this paragraph says, his keen attention to detail was a huge asset to the communications team as well, or in addition, also. So if you talk about someone's keen attention, in this place, in this particular instance, the word keen means that it was very sharp, very special. He had a great eagerness. He was very enthusiastic about this, so he had great attention to detail. He was very detail-oriented.
Yeah, I think keen is a very, very popular word for people who speak British English as well.
Keen.
So they love that word, keen. He has a keen eye for photography. I love keen. It just makes me smile. But he was really, really careful to pay attention, which is very important in communications. He was an enthusiastic participant, had a lot of, energy when it came to doing what he was supposed to do, and had a good attitude. That's important to be enthusiastic. People don't like people who are a little bit grumpy and complain too much at work. You don't want to hang out with them. He also took on the role of team leader. So he was a kind of leader, even though it wasn't his official title, and that helped everybody pull together. If you pull together, guys, you work together well and cohesively like a unit. He was always a pleasure to work with. Isn't that a great thing to say about someone?
A pleasure to work with, right. And also she goes on to say, and his outgoing personality made him a great fit for this position. So, of course, we have different kinds of personality. Your personality is generally the kind of person you are. We describe it in ways such as, oh, maybe you're shy, maybe you're very social, maybe you're really happy, maybe you're kind of pessimistic. Those are different kinds of personalities. In this case, he has a very outgoing personality, which is the opposite of shy. Outgoing means you're just out there making friends with everybody. You initiate or you start conversations with people. You're interested in other people. You're happy. You're smiling and stuff like that. You're not shy and reserved.
Yeah, and that made him a great fit for this position. If you're a shy person, you probably shouldn't go into the field of communications because it's all about interacting with people, and shy people tend to not want to interact with anybody. They just stay by themselves. Well, John was a popular person while he was there at the university, and working at a university with many international students gave him lots of experience with different cultures, which is a great quality to have, too, in today's global economy. She ends her great reference letter by saying, "I believe John's experience and personal qualities make him suitable for any future job in communications or social media." So for this particular letter, John's only going to want to use it for jobs he's applying for that fit this particular realm, this particular field of communications or social media. If he turns around and applies for a teaching job in something else, he probably won't use this particular reference letter.
Okay, and she finishes the letter here by saying, "I believe John's experience and personal qualities make him suitable for any future job in communications or social media. Please do not hesitate to contact me in person if you require any further information about John." So do not hesitate. Don't kind of stall or stop and think too long. That's what to hesitate means. You pause before you say something. And sometimes hesitation can be a bad thing, especially if the criminal is going to run away and you hesitate and you don't shoot the criminal. Oh, the criminal got away.
No!
So that's because you hesitated. Or if you're talking to a girl, don't hesitate. They don't like guys who hesitate too much. They want you to be aggressive and come out and say what you want to say. And here she's saying, "Do not hesitate to contact me. If you need to contact me, go ahead and do it. Don't think twice. And do so if you need or require any more information about this wonderful hunk of a human being, John. He's a great guy. I am so happy I knew him."
Yeah, I probably would not put in a reference letter that someone was a hunk. H-U-N-T, a hunk means somebody who's really sexy and good looking and kind of, you know, has got muscles, girls. Mm. So we don't call girls hunks. We just call guys hunk. He's a hunk. Kind of like a big chocolate hunk, kind of sweet and wonderful.
Yeah, he's a big, muscular man.
Oh,
here,
brother.
But I guess still she's recommending his qualities as a leader and an organizer and all that good stuff. And she concludes, "Sincerely, Catherine Palmerston, Director of Communications, University College, London." So there you have it, a recommendation letter for John. What the heck is his last name? Stokeland.
Yeah, it's a pretty great letter, guys. The only difference I would say to letters I've written in the past, it's just that first paragraph. I would probably start out by saying, "I heartily recommend," or "I enthusiastically recommend," or "I'm happy to recommend John Stokeland for any position in communications or social media. He held the position of communications officer at UCL while he was here during the years of blah, blah, blah." But, yeah, it's a great letter. I think they're a little bit more formal in England than we are in America. But what you're really wanting to focus on are just their good qualities and how they were as people who worked for you while they were there.
Absolutely.
Guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a few minutes, and then we'll be back to talk about these two discussion questions.
大家好, 欢迎收听English Digest, 我是Tommy。 今天我们要阅读的内容是 Unit 11 多益单元的第二天课程。 在昨天的多益课程中, 我们学到要找什么样的人帮我们写推荐信才适合。 以及我们可以自己附上一些关于自己工作成就的summary 让推荐人参考。 在今天的课程中, 我们将介绍 要怎么写推荐信，以及怎样的内容才有助于被推荐者应征上工作。我们看到文章的第一段，一开始凯瑟琳就先保证约翰的确有在伦敦大学学院任职过，如此可确保以下所讲的内容并非是捏造出来的。我们看到第一段第一句里有一个动词 confirm， C-O-N-F-I-R-M， 意思是 to show that something is definitely true， 也就是证实、证明、确认的意思。后面常接名词 that 子句或 wh 子句，例如 the x-rays have confirmed that Zach has broken his leg， X 光证实柴克摔断了腿。要注意的是，有一个动词的拼法和 confirm 很像，那就是 conform， C-O-N-F-O-R-M， 意思就是遵守、遵从、符合的意思。后面常接介系词 to， 再接一个名词，例如 All fireworks have conformed to the government's safety standards， 所有烟火都必须符合政府的安全标准。在文章的第二段中，凯瑟琳提到约翰当时的工作内容，而工作内容和约翰目前正在应征的职位相关。凯瑟琳还提到在约翰的工作期间，他有何贡献或成就，借此来彰显他的工作能力。我们看到这一段的第二句， SUCL is home to approximately 36,000 students, most of whom are active social media users. This site experiences a large amount of traffic. 由于伦敦大学学院有大约36,000名学生，他们大部分是社群媒体的积极用户，这些网站面临庞大的流量。我们看到本句的中间部分用了 most of whom， 为什么用 whom 而不用 than 呢？本句和前一句需有连接词来做连接，而冠带 whom 同时具有连接词和代名词的功能，可以连接前一句，也可以代替前一句提到的 36,000 students， 所以用 whom 才是正确的。因为 them 虽然有代名词的功能，却没有连接词的作用。如果要用 them 的话，则必须加一个连接词 and， 变成 and most of them 才对。我们来看个例句， Mr. and Mrs. Wang have 5 children, most of whom were born in Kaohsiung. 王姓夫妇有5个孩子，这些孩子大部分是在高雄出生的。接着我们看到下一句， Not only was John able to handle this, but he also increased the traffic in order to connect past, present, and potential future students.
约翰不只能够处理这样的状况，而且他也为了把过去、现在和未来可能的学生联系起来而增加流量。本句使用了 not only, but also， 不但如何如何，而且怎么样怎么样的倒装句型。说明如下，将 not only 移至句首，后面接 be 动词或助动词，再接主词和其他部分，形成倒装句型。接着用 but 连接一个完整句子， also 则当作副词来摆放其位置，也可以省略。例如 not only did the couple have a quarrel, but they also talked about breaking up。这对情侣不但吵了一架，而且还谈论到要分手。在文章的第三段中，凯瑟琳还提到约翰的个性以及和同事相处的情形。我们看到这段的第一句， John was an enthusiastic participant in all of our social media campaigns and often took on the role of team leader to ensure that everybody pulled together。 约翰在我们所有的社群媒体活动中都是热心的参与者，并且常常承担起团队领导者的角色，以确保大家团结合作。本句用了一个片语 take on， take on 在本句是承担工作或责任的意思。其他常见的意思还有呈现或具有某种样貌或特色，例如 In Aesop's fables, animals take on human attributes。 在伊索寓言中，动物具有人类的特性。Take on 还有和什么什么较量、比赛的意思。例如 ，The Yankees will take on the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium tonight。洋基队今晚将在洋基球场与红袜队较量。在文章的最后，凯瑟琳总结了约翰的工作经验和人格特质，并保证约翰是最适合该职位的人选。我们看到这一段的最后一句， Please do not hesitate to contact me in person if you require any further information about John. 如果你需要任何关于约翰的进一步资讯，请尽管与我本人联系。 Contact 在此做动词用，是接触、联系的意思。要注意的是， contact 是及物动词，后面直接加受词，不必再接介系词 with。 例如 I will contact Bill by telephone， 我将打电话和比尔联系。以上是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Thanks for coming back, guys. We've got these two discussion questions, of course. Let me ask you, Tom, what would you say are your best qualities?
My best qualities. Well, I'm clean, okay? I take a bath twice a day. I always wash under my fingernails and behind my ears, and I brush my teeth three times a day.
No, Tom, what are your best qualities as someone that would be a great person to hire?
Oh, gee. Well, yeah. I guess, I've always been punctual. I always am on time.
You are. You're very, very, very punctual.
And I'm also responsible as well. And, you know, I don't like to push responsibility away and say, oh, that's not my job. That's somebody else's job.
That's true, too.
I like to think of things as a team effort. We're all in this together, you know. So it's not like, well, that's your job and this is my job. I don't like that. I think it's immature. It's childish and stuff like that. I'm also kind of cute, actually. So
you
if I'm
cute.
Working in the office and there are other people there, both men and women, they'll be very comfortable around me because I'm such a pleasant person to look at. I also have a very nice sounding voice, so when I talk, people listen to me. I'm a great motivator. I give good speeches, and I guess that's one reason why I'm doing this particular job here. Good communication skills, which I'm sure you have as well.
I think all of those things that you've said are true. I would agree to that.
Oh my goodness, I thought I was just having fun.
No, I think you could get me to write you a reference letter, Mr. Tom. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with everything you said. I think one of Tom's best qualities, though, is he is so punctual. In the industry that Tom and I are in, we have a lot of colleagues that aren't punctual.
Yeah. And what's the deal with that? I don't understand why they can't be on time. It's not that hard.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm late to this particular job, too, but I try to be on time. You need to really think about what some of your best qualities are and why people would focus on those and why they would want to hire you if you had those qualities. And then make sure that they're put into reference letters, whether you write them for someone to sign or you have them write them themselves.
Okay, well, let me ask the second question to you, Stephanie, and you can answer it. What kind of job do you think these qualities make you suitable for?
Well, let's take your qualities. If you're punctual, I think you would be a very good person to hire for, say, the transportation industry, where we need people to be on time, don't we?
So I could be a good bus driver, huh?
Yeah, well, maybe not bus driver, but maybe someone who is in charge of running the trains, like the high-speed rail or something, where you need to be punctual.
Like in the central office or something?
I think anybody who has a quality of always accepting responsibility is good in any industry, because there are a lot of people out there that, especially in America, for some reason, they're like, it's not my job. I don't want to do it. Mm. I love people who just get in there and say, Doesn't matter whose job it is, let's get it done. I love that. But I think you're in the right kind of field for you. I think that you've matched your qualities well with your job.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about your best qualities.
That's okay.
But I guess we can do that some other time.
Yeah.
All of you can discuss these things amongst yourselves. And, yeah, be honest with yourselves. And please work on those qualities, because in the future, you're going to need to write that recommendation letter for yourself or
yeah,
for someone else.
True. Thanks for joining us, guys. Good luck if you're out there applying for a job. And practice your English. It will help you, especially with getting promoted. If you have good English skills. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.